Okay, today's Daf Chaf Hey. So we're on top of the Mishnahs. The Mishnahs can continue to deal with Harchokas Nizokin, which are distancing things that do damage. So Marchikinas Hanevelos, you have to distance the corpses of the animals, the Hakvaros and the cemeteries, the Saborsiki, the tannery, Min Ha'ir Chamishim Amah, has to be distanced 50 amos away from this field, from the city. Rashi says, Mishum Reach Ra, because they stink. Ein Osin Borsaki El Mizrachi Ir. The Tanakama holds the only place, the only direction you can make the tannery is on the east side of the city. Rashi says El Mizrachi Ir. He says She Ein Haruach Mizrachis Kasher. It's not difficult or Tadir. Elim came both pronouns. Okay, it's not the wind from the wind blowing in from the east is not so bad. So it's not going to blow the smell. Rabbi Kiva Omer, L'chol Ruach Hu'ose, he can make the tannery in any of the directions, Chutz Mim Arava, except from the west, because the west wind is difficult, Umarchik Chamishim Amah, and he has to distance it 50 Amah. And the question we're going to ask is, the Umarchik Chamishim Amah, is it going on L'chol Ruach, or is it going on the Marava? Which one is that? Umarchikin, and we saw this on Dafid Ches, Marchikin is a Mishrim in a Yerok, you have to distance the water in which they soak the flax, and as it's bad smell, it has to be distanced from the vegetable garden, Ves hakrishin min habitzalim and the leek from the onions, ves hachardal min advorim and the mustard plants from the bees. Doesn't interesting here that the Mishnah does not mention a distance. Everything else it mentions a distance. Here doesn't mention a distance. Rabbi Yossi matir b'chardal. Rabbi Yossi permits you to put the chardal near the dvorim because Rabbi Yossi says it's the bilateral damage that's going on. All these are garlic. That's well. We saw that in Daf Yud Ches. So
what's the reason for leeks and onions?
Because it damages the leeks damage the onions.
No, the flax.
That flax is the first case. The flax is the first case. The leeks is the second case. There's a mishrim in a yerek, krishim in a betzalim, chardim and devorim. Three different cases. Ibailu. So they ask on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva hechi ka'amar. Where did Rabbi Akiva say that you have to distance from the city? You have to distance the borsaki from the city 50 amos. Did he say you can do it on any side and put it right up to the city, but when it comes to the west, you can't put it there unless you distance it 50 amos? Or does he say that you can, in any place we can do it, the other north, south, and east, you can do it as long as you distance 50 amos, but chutz mimarava the ain't also klal. Klal, but from the west side, you can't do it at all. Now, what is that 50 amos coming to modify? So Tashma, pretty simple answer because it's clearly stated in the Braisa. The Tanya Rabbi Kiva Omer l'chol ruach hu osa from every distance you can make the borsaki umarchi chamishin amah as long as you distance it 50 amos chus ma'arava except from the west the eno osa kol ikar where you cannot make the borsaki at all bipnei he tadira because the ruach of the west is tadira. What does tadira mean? Rashi says Tadir beruchos, also tzad tadir beruchos. Sharuch maravus min hashavas tadir misharuchos. It's a more steady wind. It blows in more. I guess maybe from the ocean, from the sea, it blows in more. That more is going. That water is gonna, that's going to blow the. That's going to blow the.
Isn't that what we call a prevailing wind?
If that's what you want to call it, they call it tadira. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's more constant. It's muchach from the Braisa that all the tzadim of Rabbi Kiva forbids putting the borsaki unless you distance 50 amos, except for the west, which he asers completely. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, my tadira. So what does tadira mean? We just said it meant prevailing, but what Gemara asks, what does it mean when he says tadira? So the Gemara says, ilim tadu beruchos, if you say that it's prevailing wind, that Rashi says, oso tzad tadir beruach, that it blows more consistently. We're going to now get into an Amud worth of difficult agadita. The four winds blow all day. They blow every day. And the northern wind blows with each another wind. I mean, the northern wind is more prevailing. Right? So in Mali Cain, had it not been for the northern wind blowing with all the other winds, Eina olam is kayem afilu l'sha'achas, then the world will not even be able to last 1 hour because of the strength of the winds. Uruach derom is kasha mikulan, and the southern wind is the most difficult wind. V'imale ben netz, and I think ben netz here they say is not for the malach or the shade called netz, Shema Amida, who spreads his wings, Machareves Es Ha'olam, it would destroy the entire world. Shneamar, quoting a pasuk in Iov, Hami bin Nascha Ya'aver Nates Yifros Knefav L'Teiman, that the Malach that's Domet to a Nates spreads its wings towards Teiman. Teiman would be the south, in order to stop the wind from blowing. So you see that the Ruach, but we see from here that the northern wind is the most prevailing wind, not the western wind. So what does Tadira mean now? That the Ruach, why can you not put the tannery on the western side? What's why, if it's the northern wind, that's the problem, not the western wind. So Ella, my Tadira, what does Tadira mean? Tadira Bishchina, that is where the Shechina is. Rashi says, B'ma'arav hi shochenes. The Shechina rests in the west, and therefore to put the tannery there is a bizayon, I would think, if that's what it means, a bizayon to the Shechina. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, said, V'nachzik tov l'avosenu, we should give tov, good, give thanks to the, what? Thank you. Bo, v'nachzik tov l'avosenu, come and let us give thanks to our forefathers, meaning the Anshei Knesset Gedola, shehodiyu tefila, that shehodiyu makom tefila, I'm skipping words, sorry, that they told us which way to face when we pray. Dechsev, as the pasuk says in Nehemiah, utzva hashemayim lecha mishtachavim, that the tzva hashemayim, meaning the shemesh and the moon, they bow down. That's the way we bow down that way. They rise in the east, and therefore you debate and they go and they move towards the west. So that's the way we face, and that's the way we face that when we daven.
Because
of Shchina. Rashi says, "Ushma Hashemah, Shemayim, Hashemesh Vayireach Haomdi Bamizrach Lechomish Achvim LaMarav." So that's why you bow down facing the way the Shchina. So Maskif LeRav Acha Bar Yaakov, how can you prove from here that the Shchina is in the west? The Dilma. Maybe you're not bowing down going towards the person. Maybe you're like a servant who receives a prize from his master and bows walking backwards away from his master. And that would mean that the Shechina is in the east because the sun and the moon are moving towards the west. So they're bowing facing their master and moving away, which would mean that the Shechina is in the east. So the Gemara says, Kasha, Enochanami, you're right. It's difficult. There's no proof from here necessarily that the Shechina is in the west, because maybe the bowing, it says, doesn't prove which way that they are bowing. So, Toso says, we'll get to what Toso says. Let's finish a little bit more, and then we'll get to Toso. Okay. Rav Oshia Savar, Rav Oshia says, no, the Shechina is Bekol Makom. So we now, according to this, we don't know why the western side of the city can't be made a borsiki, because Tadir doesn't mean that it's a prevailing wind, and Tadir doesn't mean the Shechina, because as of now, we'd say that the Shechina could be in the east, not necessarily in the west. And now further, Rav Oshia Savar, Shechina b'chol makom. The Shechina is everywhere. The Amar of Oshia, right, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. The Amar of Oshia, my dechsev, ata hu Hashem levadecha, ata asisa esha shemayim, and then it says, lecha shemayim, lecha mishtachavim. Right, the pasuk says, Shiluchecha lo Shluchecha lo kishluche basar vadam. Your shlichim are not like the shlichim of man. Shluchei basar vadam mimakom shemishtalchim l'sham machzirim shluchos shilichusan. The shliach of my son, the shliach, he has to come back to me. He comes back to where I am. He has to return. Aval shluchecha the mokom shemishtalchin misham machzirim shluchosan. From the place that they go, when they complete their shlichus, right? Where they place that they're sent to complete their shlichus, that's where they go back to. That from right when they finish, that's where, and then they go back from that spot. They don't have to return to their original point of origin, right? Right. That's the difference. So what does that mean from the pasuk? But how do we know that? Shneamar, because the pasuk says, okay, it says Atahu Shem Levadecha. You are singular. So what's the singularity that they're pointing out? They're pointing out this difference in the shluchim. And my shlichus has to return to me, to complete the shlichus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shlichus can return to him at the point where he completes the shlichus. Shneamar, the pasuk says, Hasishalach birakim v'yelchu v'yomru lecha hineinu. I will send lightning, and they will walk, and they'll say, we are here. So the Gemara says, Yavau v'yomru lo neamar, ele v'yelchu v'yomru. right? They don't have to. Vayavo, it doesn't say the Yelchu Vayomru. It doesn't say they're going to come back to complete the mission. So it says Vayelchu Vayomru. It doesn't say they'll come back and tell me. They're just going to tell me right at the spot. So therefore, you see, Milamet Shashchina B'chol Makom. You see from here that Shchina is everywhere. Shchina is everywhere. The Af Rabbi Shmuel Sover Shchina B'chol Makom. And Rabbi Shmuel also says that the Shchina is everywhere. The Tarna Debe Rabbi Shmuel. There's a price that was torn in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. Minayin Shashchina B'chol Makom. How do you know that the Shchina is everywhere? Shneamar is a pasuk in Zechariah. Hinei Hamalach Adover Bi Yotzei Umalach Acher Yotzei Likraso. Right, acharav lo nemar el likraso milamet shchina b'chol makom. So I think what it's saying is, it says the malach is speaking to me, and then another malach comes to speak to me. So normally, he gets the Gemara is saying that the assumption would be that one malach is speaking to me, and then acharav another malach comes afterwards, after him to speak to me, meaning he's coming from the same spot. But here it says malach acher yotze likraso, which means maybe just coming from the other direction. I mean, the malachim, the shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are coming from every direction. Right, Rashi says. So I'm not necessarily clear about telling none of you what they're talking about with Nevuah, but one's coming from one direction, one's coming from the other direction, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending shlichim from all directions. That means the Shechinah is everywhere. So the whole song of Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere is really a machlokas in the Gemara as to where Hashem is. Uncle Moshe is passing right now, like Rav Oshia and Rabbi Shmuel. And Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes of Shechina B'chol Makom. The Amar Rav Sheshes L'Shamei, Rav Sheshes said to his servant, if you remember, Rav Sheshes is Saginar, Rav Sheshes is blind. So he's asking his servant, L'chol Rucha Okman, please, when I'm going to daven, you can place me in any direction, to face any direction, L'varmi Mizrach, except to the east. And the La Mishum de Lesbe Shechina, and not because there's no Shechina by the east, Ela Mishum de Moru Bo Minei. Rather, I don't want to dive into the east because the Minim, the Ode Yevod Zara, they pray that direction. I'm wondering if their early church fathers, if they also prayed in the, only facing east. I'm not sure.
That's an interesting thing, though. Rav Sheshes is in Mo.
Correct.
In Mo, you dive to the west.
Only if you hold that you have to face towards Eretz Yisrael. We'll point that out in Tosfos in a second. Obviously, they're arguing on that Gemara in Brachos that says you have to find. Correct. Okay. V'Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yavo, does not hold like Uncle Moshe, and he says Shechina b'Marav. He says the Shechina is specifically in the east, in the west. The Amar Rabbi Yavo, Ma Oriya. What is Oriya? I think Oriya here is, Rashi says, it's Parish, Rashi says that Oriya is a Persian word that means the west, and he breaks up and says Avirka. The tzad that the Shechina is there. I know you're learning it from a Persian word.
This is a Persian word meaning evening.
Okay, so but why? But he breaks it down.
It's an air of God.
Avir Yah. Right, so that's where the Shechina is. Okay?
Which means
the Shechina comes from the west. But Amar Rav Yehuda, my deksiv. I'm not sure how to type this. This is a psukim in Hazinu. It says, Yarov kamatar l'chi. Like it will fall like the rain. Zoruach Maravis Shabba'a Me Arpo Shal Olam. That is the western wind that comes from the Arpo, which is the back, or the back of the neck of the world. Okay, that's what Yarof and Arof, right? Tizal Katal Marti, it should flow like the dew of my sayings. Zoruach Tzifonish Mazeles Es Hazav. That is the northern wind. The Mazeles, I think, means soften, but here I think means cheapens the gold. Because when the northern wind blows, it causes, you know, things, famine and stuff like that, so the gold is worthless.
Everything that comes from the north is not good.
Right. Mitzafoti patachara. Omer, and how do you know that mazelis means to be cheapened? Because hazalim zahav mikis. Okay? And then the Gemara continues, in kisirim ali desha, right, zel ruach mizrachis, that's the eastern wind, shehi misaeres es kol olam kisair. That the eastern wind sort of burns or destroys the world like Sa'ir, which I think is a shade called Sa'ir. Uchirivim ale Esev, zo ruach deromis, shehimale revivim magdal sasavim. The ruach deromis is the one that raises, that brings out the rain, I guess, and grows grass, which is interesting because we just said before that the southern wind, right, the southern one was difficult, right? Didn't we say before? If not for the southern wind, if not for Nates,
that's the most violent
wind. That was the most violent wind. And here we're saying the southern wind is the best wind. So I don't know. The whole point over here, I think, teaches the Torah that the Torah is talking about this pasuk is the Torah. This pasuk in Hazim is talking about Torah. It's similar to the four winds, and just like the four winds, the world can't exist without the four winds. So too, you can't exist without Torah. Bottom line is, I don't think we answered why you can't put the tannery up in the west, because only according to those who hold that the Shekhinah is only in the west, then you can't put the tannery up on the west side. But according to Rav Oshia and Rav Yishmael and Rav Sheshes, with the Shekhinah is everywhere, why can't you not put the tannery up in the west? I don't know. Okay, so Tosos, point out what Mati says. If you look at Tosos, L'chol ruchasa akman, this is Rav Sheshes, says, place me in any direction. He says, kol hani amoroi, all these amoroim that we just mentioned, les lehu the hadatani bebrachos. They argue with the Brisa in Brachos, Shechayev Adam Lispalel Nega Yerushalayim, that a person has to daven facing Jerusalem. Mishum Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Vispalu Eilecha Derech Hatzam, El Savri Kirab Yishmal, they'll hold like Rabbi Shmal over there, the Amar, Bechol Makom Shechina. They'll hold that the Shechina is in every Makom, right? Uman the Amar Shechina B'marav, and the one who holds the Shechina is in the west, which therefore means you don't follow to face Jerusalem, you face the west, right? Uman the Amar Shechina B'marav, Savrik Rabbi Kiva, we'll hold like Rabbi Kiva, the Amar Bnei Shehi Tadira, because Rabbi Kiva says that it's Tadira. Okay, Rav Chanina, the Shmaitin.
Which means everywhere?
No, he said Tadira means prevalent.
Oh, prevalent.
Right, that's where it is. That's where the Shechina is. Rabbi Chanina, the Shmaitin, the Amar Kigon, Asun, the Yasun, the Tzvona, the Arad Yisrael, Adirimu, Savarlak, and Brisa Brachas. And you'll see that Rabbi Chanina, who holds us in the north, face the south, the Davin Eretz Yisrael, he's going to hold like the Brisa in Brachas. So that, what? No, it's a Brisa in Brachas. He says it's a brisa.
If you're riding on an animal.
Shechayev Adam lispalo negi Yerushalayim.
That's a brisa?
He quotes it. I don't know. If you look it up. Brachos daf lamed. The Tanya. He quotes it as a Tanya. The Tanya would mean a brisa.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't look it up. Maybe I should have. Tosos asks another question. The previous Tosos says, well, he said, remember we learned about the Sfar Shemayim L'chomish Nachmin. We're trying to figure out which way the constellations are bowing. And we're saying, like where it says, the Im Tomer Balayla Nami Mizrach Mishnachvim. But at night, aren't they bowing also, going the other way and bowing towards the east?
Right.
They're bowing towards the same. In other words, how are you trying to prove that they're bowing towards the west? So Tosfos is an answer which has halachic ramifications. The Ein Lana Lilmod El Mimash Anarolim. We can only learn from what we see. Whatever is visible to the naked eye, at night you can't really see the constellations, I guess, or the sun and the moving, because you'll see in a moment, because the sun goes through the kippah, it's outside of the horizon. Okay, Tosfos then asked, "Vim Tomar v'amaylo neida makom tefila v'beis hamigdash shahai sheyam shchin b'marav." Why don't we learn that from the beis hamigdash in the Mishkan, where the kachay kadoshim was placed on the western end? Right now, also, where was the kachay kadoshim? It was in the west. That's where we had the kotel. It's the western wall.
That's a good smell.
And so, do with the smell. We're learning out over here from the shchina. Which way is the shchina? The smell was the borski. Now we're talking about the shchina. He says, there's two answers. Number one, he says, because you can say, even though the Shekhinah is every place, you got to put it somewhere. So this is where they put it. Okay, I think that begs the question. Okay, so you had four choices. Why'd you choose this one? It still doesn't answer the question, I think. Because you chose one over four. But the Ritzvah answers, he says, no. The Ritzvah Omer, the Misham Ein Lilmo, the Shekhin B'marav, he says, no, because go even further. Look in the Kodesh. Then he the base Kodesh, Kodesh Hai B'marav HaMikdash, maybe you call Mokom HaAron, Shashkin L'Sham, right? That's B'Mizrach. In other words, the Kodesh Kodeshim is in the west, but let the Aron, which represents the Shekhin, is in the east part of the Aron. Yeah, but it's in the eastern part of, so it depends on how close you want to analyze, how far down you want to go to analyze. If you analyze it only by the Kachay Kadoshim, then yeah, it's in the west. If now you want to analyze the placement of everything in the Kachay Kadoshim, then you don't have a proof of the west. But bottom line is, on that other and that less specific level, the Kachay Kadoshim is still in the west. But they're not going to make that proof. Okay, two toasts. Next.
So basically, there was no rhyme or reason why they did it.
According to that, they said they had to do it somewhere. But I think it begs the question. I think you're right. I think it begs the question. What's the reason why it was placed in the west then?
Because the stone was there, because that's where he was.
So build it the other way.
Okay,
what about the Mishkan? Why did the Mishkan be built that way? Mishkan's the same thing.
There's so many other reasons.
They copied the Mishkan, right? I think those reasons come after.
They're anachronistic. Were Yaakov Avinu laid down to rest?
According to the Medrash, yes. No, he laid down in Beisel.
Okay, this Yitzchak was also over there.
Yeah, but wasn't there a place that whether he laid down Beisel be the future Beisel?
That's one Medrash. I don't know. I think the question is better than the answer. I think you can prove it. I think the question is a lot better than the answer. Okay. So next. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer. Rabbi Lezer says, and this is this actually from the description that we have here, you actually get Rabbeinu Tam Shita on Shkia. But that's go back to the Gemara and Pesach, but that. But Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'olam, the world, le'achsaja hudome, is similar to an achsaja. Rashi here defines achsaja differently than he defined it earlier. Earlier he defined achsaja as a portico that had no walls. Here he says she'ein la dofen rvias. It's just enclosed on three sides.
So
it's open on one side. The ruach tzifonis eina misuveves. Here ruach means the side. So the northern side is not enclosed. Kevin shehigia chama etzel kerem aravis tzifonis. So you have to follow the sun. The sun rises in the east. And if you follow the sun rises in the east, and as it moves to the west towards the south. It rises and goes towards the south, and goes towards the west. Once it gets to the northwest corner, which means it's setting. So how does it get back to the east in the morning? We know because the earth rotates around the sun. But how did they view it? Also, how does it look? To listen, there are Maharal and the Ramchal say that you have to read these Gemaras metaphorically. You have to figure out what it means, or you could say that this is what their observations were. It may not have been accurate scientifically, but if you observe it, it does seem to look like that. The sun, you wake up in the morning, the sun's in the east, and when you go to sleep, and at night, the sun has traveled on a southerly path to go to the west. That's what it looks like. So he says, "Eso kerem aravis tzifonis." What happens? Nichvefes the ola lemala min arakia. So then it goes out of this dome. And it goes out, and then it travels on the outside of the dome to come back to the east. Rabbi Shua Omer, Olam Likuba Hudome. The world is like a box, some sort of box, I guess. That means it's closed on all four sides. The ruach tzfonis misubeves, and even the northern side is enclosed. The keva chachamim agas lekemar rovitz tzfonis, and when the sun reaches that the northwest side, which is basically at sunset, it goes out. Makefes v'chazeres achore hakipa. So I guess it goes out some sort of window and goes underneath, I think. It goes out to a window on the northern side, and then it continues going around outside of the kippa, and then that's when it's dark, and then it goes back to the east to rise in the next morning. Which is why actually you have, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we have these two double shkia. So you have one shkia where it starts passing through the window, that's when it starts getting dark. And then the other shkia is when it goes outside the window on the other side to become dark, and that's the second shkia, and that's where he gets to his 72 minutes.
So the assumption is that it's a flat earth.
Correct. Right. Yep, 100%.
Why would you think otherwise?
100%.
It's the starting point. It doesn't make sense otherwise. So I just wanted to clarify.
It has to be. That's how they viewed the world.
Right.
That's how they viewed the world. And that's how everybody in those days viewed the world until a couple hundred years ago. That's how the world was viewed.
The only problem we have with this whole thing is, and no offense to the Maharal, is that they were able to take it down to the exact point of a minute of how the world works. If they knew that, I mean, they knew exactly the rotations.
Like the Kiddush HaKodesh.
Yep.
Yeah.
If they were that advanced,
right?
1,000 years before.
What do you mean, that they knew that it was round?
They knew everything.
I don't think they have to prove that they know that it was round. They can just say that that's how they knew when the sun went in and out of the windows. It's just how they observed it.
That's a very complicated way to say it.
Shanamar. No, according to what you're saying, then I mean, it's clearly that they're viewing this as a flat earth.
Yes.
They're clearly viewing it as a flat earth. Their observations allowed them to make these calculations.
That's why I asked the question, because I've also heard what Mother had a very clear picture of how astronomy works. And then this doesn't make sense.
It does. If you're following exactly what he's saying, from a visual standpoint...
It's just a visual... Right, it's a visual standpoint.
But that doesn't mean that they didn't understand how the exact astronomy works.
I'm sure they did.
They did. Because they were able to do it Kiddush HaKodesh 2,000 years before anybody else in the earth was able to figure it.
Understood, but they were doing it on an assumption that what they were able to view, and they made calculations, but the overarching view is that the world was... It's clear that they viewed the world was flat. Everyone viewed the world flat. Since told me, everyone viewed that the world was good. Told me.
Yeah, and of course, their understanding of how the moon goes around the earth is different from how the earth goes around
right.
The earth.
You fall off the earth.
Right. Shenemar. Yes, nothing, Slifkin. He'll explain something. Okay. Shenemar, Holech El Darom, Visovev El Tzafon. So now Rabbi Yeshua is trying to bring a raya that talks about the sun, holech el darom v'sovev el tzafon. Sovev, holech haruach, alas yusov shavruach. It goes towards the south, and then comes back to the north. Holech el darom, it goes towards the south, that's bayom. That, you're right, when you watch the sun travels towards the south. Right, that's how it goes. Holech el darom bayom, v'sovev el tzafon, that's Balaila. And it goes out to the north, that's at night, it goes out to the north. Sovev, sovev, hilech haruach, asi usav shavaruach, elu p'nei mizrach, u'p'nei marav. That's the east and the west. Shepa'amim misavavasam, u'bipa'amim mehalchatam. Here I'm not exactly sure what it says. It seems to be saying that in the winter, when the days are short and the night are long, the sun shines more in the southeast. And it only during the day, it only goes towards the south, and then sets in the southwest, and pamim mehalatam, and sometimes during the day in the summer it goes further. It goes to the all the way to the east, to the northeast. And I'm not sure what that means.
It's now they observe where the sun is, in the
horizon, what the observations are. But you see from here that he closed that at night the sun travels through the north part of the world. So therefore, you see from here. I guess over here that the northern side is also encloses the world according to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, fine. Who are you, Omer? The Gemara brings a brisa. Who are you, Omer? Rabbi Lezer says, "Who are you, Omer? Our son, the Rabbi Lezer." Right. This is now going to Rabbi Lezer, who said that Tanakam. I guess I said that it was a dome. It was a dome, and it was also covered on the north side. Asal Rabbi Lezer min hacheder tavo sufa zo ruach deramis umimizarim kara, from min hacheder tavo sufa, that's the southern wind, mimizarim kara, that's the northern wind, that it's I guess it comes to cold because I guess it's opened up because there's nothing to protect it, right? Minishmas al yitein karach zeruach maravis, the cold comes from the west, the roch of mayim b'mutzak zo ruach mizrachis, and the rain the mayim mutzak comes from the east. But didn't you just say that Ruach Jeromis, Ma'aleb, Revivim, Magadelas, Esavim? Right, you just said before that the southern wind brings the rain and grows the grass. And right here you're saying that it comes Sufa, which is Minacheda Tavo Sufa, which is the southern wind brings this, well, the whips up the winds and difficult winds. Lokashahi, it's no difficulty. Ha, that we said the rain comes from the south. That's the Asa Mitra Benichusa. That's when nice rain falls. But the pouring, drenching rain, that's going to come from the eastern side. Okay. Amar Chizda. When Chizda says, "My dichsiv," right? These are more memorals regarding the winds. "My dichsiv mitzafon zaav ya'asa." What does that mean? From the north, the gold will, cheapen. Zo ruach tzafoni shemazel zaav. That's the northern wind that cheapens the gold, because if there's nothing to buy, then the gold is worthless. Right, because it brings bad wind. V'chein hu omer hazalim zav mikis. It'll cheapen the gold from your pocket. Amar Rav from our papa. Amar Chizda. Miyom shechar beis hamigdash lo hugshama ruach deromis. From the time that the beis hamigdash was destroyed, we have not received rain that comes from the south, because that's the good rain. And when the beis hamigdash was destroyed, we did not receive that pleasant rain. Shneamar the pasuk Yeshaya vayigzor al yamin v'ra'ev. Right, he made a zera. Made a declaration on the yamin, and you're hungry. V'yochal al smol v'lo saveyu, and they'll eat on the smol, and they will not be satisfied. So, what does yamin mean? That they'll be hungry. Yamin usually means right, as opposed to right and left. He says, "Uksiv tzafon v'yamin atab rasam." North and yamin, you created. What's the opposite of north? Is yamin. What's the opposite of north? South. So, the yamin means south, and you made a gzera on the yamin, and you became hungry. You made a gzera on the south wind, and therefore they're hungry because there's no rain coming from the south. The Amar of Rafram Bar Papa, Amar of Chizda, also he says, "Miyom shechar beis hamidosh," from the time that the basements were destroyed, "Ein hagashamim yodir mi'otzer tov," the rains do not come down from the good storehouse. Shneamar, the pasuk says, "Yiftach Hashem lecha es otzaro hatov." Right, as Shemayim says, "Matar be'artzucha be'ito." So they're going to say Artzucha, right? That's, you have to remember the end of the pasuk is Artzucha. Bizman Shi Yisrael Shiruyan Alad Masam. The Gersi also hears Bizman Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shel Makom the Yisrael Shul Al Madmasam, when Bnei Yisrael are sitting in Eretz Yisrael and are doing what they are supposed to be doing, so then Gesham Yordim Otsar Tov. Then the Geshem comes from this good place, but Bizman Shein Yisrael Shul Al Masam, but Bnei Yisrael is not Shruy Al Masam. It doesn't say that they're Osim, not Osim Ritzon Ratzon Shel Makom. Seems to indicate that, and that's maybe what issue with the Gersa, because it's not parallel Gersa, and maybe you can say that if they're not Shruy Al Masam, then they're by definition not doing Ritzon Makom. Right, so therefore it says Angus Sherman Yodim Ochatol. Then they're not going to get the rain from this good place. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Yitzhak says, Harotse Sheyachim Yadrim. One who wants to become a Talmud Chacham should during his davening face south. The Sheyasir Yatspin. He wants to become wealthy, he should face north.
And that east?
No, south and north. We have to figure out how to do that when it comes to davening. The Simanech, what about west? Isn't the Shekhin the rest west? So the Simanech, and the Sim like that is Shulchan Mitzafon, is well known medrash. The Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash is in the north, and the Shulchan represented Ashiris, represented, that's where the bread was, Umenorah, Menorah Bedorah. The Menorah, which is the Or of the Torah, that's Merumas on the Chachma, is in the south. So again, it comes to an issue of how you go about facing, where you face when you daven. So just give me my Rakam, look at the Ramah in that Simon, Simon Lamed Vav, or Mem Zayin, I forgot where it is. Look where the Ramah discusses which way we tend to paskin like that Brisa in Yerushalayim, in Brachos, that we tend to face Yerushalayim. Whichever way that we are, we try to face, we'll face Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael face Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim face the Makom Mikdash, Makom Mikdash face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the way we seem to daven. Okay. The Gemara that says, the Rabbi Shuv ben Levi Omer Le'olam Yadrim, you should always face south, Shemitoch Shehu Mischakeim Misasher. Because by the fact that he becomes a Chacham, he becomes wealthy. Because I guess wealth becomes wealth in Torah, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Sheneamar, Orach Yamim B'Yimina, Usmola Osher V'Kavod. You have Orach Yamim, they say that if you're Machkin B'Torah, you get Ashiris. The Gemara says, but why is he saying you should face south? Rabbi Yeshua and Levi, Amar Shechina B'Mara. It wasn't Rabbi Yeshua, one of the people said the Shechina is in the west. So he says, Mitzadeh Netzudeh. Sort of you face south and turn your head to the west, or you go down on an angle southwest. Somehow you position your body that you're facing both. Amalei Rav Chanina Rav Ashi Kigon Atun. This is what this memra holds like that brisa in Brachos. Come on, Atun, like us, Mishulas and Tosos, the Asviu, but foreign of Eretz Yisrael, that we are living in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Adrum Adrimu Adrume. We should face, or you should face south when you daven, so you should be facing Eretz Yisrael. Uminalon the bubble is from the Eretz Yisrael Kaiman. How do we know the bubble is in the north of Eretz Yisrael? I don't know, look at the map. It's more north, but it's northeast. It's northeast. He says, Tiksiv, because the Pasuk says, this is by the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, discussing this destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that's going to happen, Ayidei Melech Bavel, Mitzafon, Tipatach Hara'ah, Al Kol Yoshei Aretz. From the north, the evil will open, right, on all the citizens of Eretz Yisrael. The Bavel is coming from the north. Actually makes sense, the way they traveled, even though it's the northwest, the way you traveled, if you look at all the routes from Mesopotamia at the time, you would go town like this, come through on the crescent.
Didn't they call Bavel Marava west of Eretz Yisrael?
No, Eretz Yisrael is Marava.
Marava
is Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, Marchikin as a Mishnah in a Yerek, you have to distance the Mishnah from the Yerek, the Krishan from the Betzolim, and the Chardal from the Dvorim. Rabbi Yossi allows you to do the Chardal. Tanya, we learned this also on Dafid Ches, Rabbi Yossi Mati Chardal, he permits the Chardal to be there, Sheyachol Omer Lo, because the owner of the mustard can say to the owner of the bees, Ad She'ata Omer Li Archei Chardal Cha, Min Dvorai, until you tell me to distance my mustards from your bees, Harchik Dvorecha min Chardelai, you should distance your bees from my mustard, because Shebaos Va'ochlos Ligulune Chardelai. They come in and they eat the leaves of my mustard. So on Dafyun Ches, the Chacham say they don't eat them, they're not eating the seeds, and if they eat the leaves, they're going to grow back. And we also saw that Rav Yossi actually argues in all three cases that you can put it up right there, and so Al Nizak Laharchik is Atzmo. He's only saying the Shita of the Chachamim, even if you hold on Mazik Laharchik is Atzmo, but when it comes to the mustard and the bees, there's this bilateral Nezek. So at least there you should agree to me, and they say no, it's not bilateral nezek, it's only nezek one way. Okay, next Mishnah. This Mishnah that has been quoted multiple times already in the Perek. Marchikin esa ilan min habor esrim v'chamesh amo. You have to distance the tree from an existing cistern, an existing pit, 25 amos, so that the roots don't go in and destroy the pit. Ubecharuv ubeshikma, and the carob tree or the sycamore tree, who have a lots of roots, chamishin amo, they have to be distanced 50 amos. Ben milomala, ben milzad. Whether the the tree, I guess, whether one is on a mountain and it's on top or on the bottom, or they're even, no matter how it is, because I guess if the bore is even higher, then the roots of the tree can go underneath and, you know, and destroy the foundation as well. Now, the Gemara said, Mishnah says, im habor kadma, if the bore was there before the tree, then kotzeis, then the Baal Ilan is obligated to chop down his tree. V'no sein damim, and the Baal HaBor will have to pay the owner of the tree the money. The ima ilan kadam, but if the tree is first, then the boar put himself down. Lo yikots, he's not obligated to put down his, to chop down the tree. Suffix zek kadam, lo yikots. If it is a suffix, then you don't have to chop the tree. The Baal HaBor, I guess, has to prove that the boar was first. They say motz mechavel v'raya. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, af al pi shal bor kodem esel ilan, even if the bor exists prior to the tree, lo yikot, you don't have to chop down the tree, shezeh, the Baal HaBor, chofer besok shalo, he's digging in his property, vizeh, and the tree, the owner of the tree, no debetok shalo, al nizak larach es atzmo, he's doing in his property, there's no obligation for the guy, for the mazik here, in this case, to remove the tree. We'll see in a moment, but Rabbi Yossi agrees when it comes to giri delay, when it comes to direct automatic damage, like arrows shooting from me, but here it's not automatic damage, because it takes a while for the roots to proceed and get to the bor. Tanya, we learned Tana. We learned in a brisa. Oh, sorry, Tana. It was stated in the Mishnah. Bein shebor lamata ve'il lamata. Bein shebor lamala ve'il lamata. So Bishlama, I understand the case bor lamata ve'il lamala. I understand the case where the bor is lower and the tree is on the top. Ka'azli sharashim maskei le'labor. So the sharashim, the roots are going to go down. They're going to go enter into the pit and they're going to ruin the pit. Ella bor lamala ve'ilamata lamai. But what if the bor is higher and the tree is lower? Why do you have to distance the tree in that case? So Amar Chaga b'shem Rabbi Yossi b'pnei machdilim esar karko umalkim es karki esar bor. Because they'll weaken the ground underneath. The roots are not going to now enter the pit, but they'll go underneath and they'll enter the ground and it'll soften the ground and can cause the bor to collapse. Rabbi Yossi Omer afa pi shabor kodemus le'ilam lo yikot shezecho v'tok shalo v'zeh nose noteya b'toch shalo. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halachic Rabbi Yossi. The halachic Rabbi Yossi, which means al hanizok laharchich es atzmo. Right? Amar Rabbi Ashi. Rabbi Ashi says ki havon be Rav Kahana. When I was in the base medrash of Kahana, have amrinam. We would say mode Rabbi Yossi be giri delay. That's what we said before. Rabbi Yossi agrees that the mazik has to distance himself by giri delay. Let's look at Rashi giri delay. Hecha dematile hezeka mitoch yado shel mazik, where the hezek comes out immediately from the hand of the mazik, right? Kahid armina b'bayis v'ali, like we said at the end of Bava Metzia, only a couple weeks ago. Hanu beitrei chadar iloy v'chadar tatai. One was living on top, one was living on the bottom. Ifchat ma'aziva, and then it starts dripping the water. The chol emas demashi yod. Sorry, the floor got diminished. And the chol emas demashi yod enafli alei tatai. And every time he would wash his hands, the water would go onto the bottom. The chshenoflim yodo mamish al tachton kari legir delay. When it falls immediately, directly, right from, without any anything in between, then that's considered gear delay. The chipaski v'had enafli, but if it would stop, then roll and then fall out, that was not gear delay. Low kari legir delay. So here, when it comes to the roots, if again we had the machlokas to figure out all these mishnayos until now, are they agreeing with Rabbi Yossi, or they're arguing with Rabbi Yossi? Are those giri delay cases or not? That is a machlokas rishonim. Papai Yona'a. So Papai Yona'a is, Papai is his name, Yona'a is where he's from. Ani, he was poor, v'he'ashir hava, and then he came into money. First he was poor, became wealthy. Bona apadna, he built himself this big house. Havuhanach atsure b'shivivuse. In his town, there were these people who would, I think they would crush sesames. I don't know how to say, they would crush sesames in order to extract the oil. And when they would bang in order to crush the sesames, it would cause his house to shake. And I guess his house was shaking from the vibrations. So Asla came to Rav Ashi. So Papai came before Rav Ashi in order to bring them to din. Amrale, Rav Ashi says to him, Ki havon be Rav Kahana. When we were in the base of Rav Kahana, Havi Armina, Mod Rav Yossi, Giri Delay. Then Rav Yossi agreed to give him Giri Delay. I guess saying over here that the Hachanami, Rashi says, Miyadeyem hu ba lo, Shemikoch makoseim hu married. It's instant. It's coming out from their hands. They bang, causes the vibration. So that's Giri Delay. He's going to have to stop. And the Gemara says, Vakama, and how much, I think it means, and how much must the house shake in order for it to be considered damaged? Rashi says, Vakama Tanud apade debayar huke. How much must the house be shaking in order for it to be considered damaged and it has to be, they have to be removed? So he says, kidinayed nachtema apume de chatzpa, which means the amount that, I guess if you would put a, I think it means if you put a lid on some sort of, if you put a picture on a wall, and it would fall. I think that's what it means. I don't know how Taisha says that. So if you put the picture on the wall and you put a covering on the picture, and if the covering would move, then that's going to be the distance. Not so much. I didn't really prepare going forward. We want to go forward. Debe mar marion. No, stop here. Okay, stop here. Everyone have a good day.